You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
Hi, this is Tristan here for the Archaeology Podcast Network. I'm here at Brighton 2018, and across the table from me is...
Chris Harris.
From...
Magnitude Surveys Limited.
Awesome. So, you've got a nice little booth here. What have you got at your booth to offer us? Apart from, obviously, the services provided by Magnitude Surveys, but what's the swag?
We have flash drives, we have pens, we have notepads, we have scale rulers, flyers, and most excitingly, cupcakes.
Cupcakes, right. So if you were at this conference not for Magnitude Surveys, what kind of swag do you usually look out for?
I usually go for pens and flash drives. Be the two top things I go for. I'm not really into sweets. Pens. You always need more pens.
Yeah, that's pretty true. So we'll get the boring stuff out of the way. What does Magnitude Survey do?
We are an independent provider of archaeological geophysics surveys to the commercial, community, and public outreach sectors. We're based in Bradford, but we work anywhere, everywhere.
Everywhere. Good. And you were kind of just running through a little game with me earlier that actually had a point. So obviously it was like you got more and more parts of a map with geophys done on it. And you had to guess what it was before you got all the maps. So what is that? What was the thought behind that game?
Quite often we do quotes for, we have it, the entire large site, and then it goes, we don't want to necessarily pay to do geophysics over the entire area. Can we do smaller targeted areas? Which means we're doing sometimes narrow linear corridors or discrete blocks around the site. And often it makes it harder to interpret the results because it's always useful to have more context, especially when you have if you have like a linear anomaly just running through somewhere, what that could be produced by a lot of things. So having more coverage can give you a better idea of what's going on and what's the nature of the surrounding landscape.
So obviously technology is a very big part of commercial archaeology and archaeology in general. And I've always found it quite interesting how archaeology seems to be sometimes the pioneers of kind of new techniques and everything. How long have you worked for Magnitude Surveys?
I'm one of the founders of Magnitude. We set up nearly 3 years ago. My other directors come from backgrounds working in, both have academic degrees and postgraduate degrees in archaeological geophysics, but worked for commercial units. But I came from a pure academic background. So this is probably my first exposure into working more in the commercial world versus the academic world.
Do you have a favorite type of geophys that you like doing personally, or you don't really get the hands dirty?
I did my PhD in electromagnetic induction methods. So I get really excited when people ask about doing those. It's becoming more interest in doing EM surveys. Because they can measure two different soil properties simultaneously and you get multiple depth information. And some of the bigger systems for doing a big thing now is paleo landscapes. So we have a big ongoing project, actually several ongoing projects where we're taking one of the big, it's about several meter long sensors to map paleo channels and then having the magnetometry with it. So you get a nice, like, different complementary data sets to go with that.
No, I have a little bit of background in chemistry, so science stuff really kind of, you know, gets the light bulb going. So you were talking about EM surveys doing different soil properties and depths. When we're talking about different soil properties simultaneously, what are we talking about? Like, what are you measuring?
So I think the standard, when people think of geophysics, they usually think of a magnetometer survey, and that essentially is just measuring magnetic changes. And that could, whereas electromagnetic induction surveys, it measures magnetic susceptibility, which is a specific component, like a specific magnetic properties, and also how electrical conductivity, so how easy it is to induce current flow into the ground. So magnetometers are great for picking up magnetic enhancement, which all sorts of anthropogenic and archaeological activity produces magnetic enhancement, whereas the EM surveys with the electrical conductivity is good for differences in soil density and texture.
You were talking about paleo soils. How deep do you have to go to be considered the paleo landscape? What is the definition there? Like, what? Because obviously, you know, when we talk about studying the past generally, you know, you're talking about finds just under the soil for anthropogenic finds. So what is paleo soil? What is paleo finds and paleo landscape?
The surveys that we have, we have very good briefs. Now I say this is the key part of this, a very well-defined brief for what they're looking for this survey. So they wanted to find paleo landscapes, features that are maybe more, or sites that are more ephemeral, that are more difficult to find with traditional survey methods. So going and mapping old geological landforms, to target of where there would be more likelihoods to have these sites. So we're not necessarily looking for archaeological features themselves, but areas to target.
Do you come to a lot of conferences? How do you find this one? How do you find CIFA's conferences?
This is my first time at CIFA. This is my first time at a conference not presenting. This is my first time at a conference as an exhibitor. So it's been... it's a very different experience, I think, being an exhibitor versus presenting.
No, I completely appreciate that. Is this your first time in Brighton? It's my first time in Brighton.
It's my first time in Brighton.
What do you think of Brighton?
It's bigger than I was expecting.
Okay.
And windier.
Well, it is on the sea. And I personally quite like the seaside. I do like to be beside the sea. What about yourself?
It's a bit of a novelty to me.
To my knowledge, Bradford is pretty much not near the sea.
You know, less than 2 hours or an hour either way, east or west.
That is really as far from the sea as you can get in England, I believe.
Well, I'm also from where I'm from, Minnesota in the U.S., and it's not very far from the geographic center of North America.
Yeah.
So also where I grew up is as far as you can get. Yeah. So I think it's a novel. It has a certain novelty to me, but it has this uneasiness as well. I'm much more content with lakes and
too close to the sea.
Forests, personally.
Have you seen the pier, the Brighton Pier and everything? I saw that down the promenade.
Yeah, I went out on the pier the first night. It's very windy. There is a lot of... it reminded me of American carnival rides. It's very long. It was massive. It was bigger than I was expecting.
Crazy. And yeah, but I find it's really interesting if you go along a little bit. There's also the remains of the other pier, which I thought was... it looks a bit odd standing out there. I don't know if you saw it.
Oh, yeah. Or the dinner was overlooked last night in the drinks. Yeah.
The decaying and... I don't want to say corpse, but it literally reminded me of this thing at sea. I found that really interesting and a really weird kind of aspect of built heritage right in the middle of Brighton. I wonder if it was chosen for that. All the archaeologists look out and see that. And, interesting.
Kind of reminded me of Bradford in some ways, since we have a lot of those kind of empty old Victorian mill buildings that are kind of... some of them are developed around them, but some of them are there just kind of waiting for, well, either to be redeveloped or a lot of them go up in flames.
Yeah, it is a shame, you know, when you see these buildings fall into disrepair rather than, you know, something happen with them. I was listening to one of the things upstairs where they're talking about a lot of the time we do too much archaeology in the sense that it doesn't really, like, you know, there's not really a community involvement in that. How is archaeology in Bradford? Like, obviously you guys work nationally, you supply everybody with stuff. Do you ever get involved with stuff that happens around Bradford?
I think one of the most successful community and public engagement projects I've seen, it was when I was doing my PhD, and my supervisor, Chris Gaffney, did... First, it was a geophysical survey, and then it developed into a larger project at the old Bradford football park. So they went and mapped all of the area. I think they did radar, I think they did res, and then they excavated and brought in the local neighborhood and found and dug out all of the old aspects of the football ground. And people loved it because it was it had a fond spot in someone's living memory. And had a good sense of kind of community connection to it. I found that a lot when we're going out to Lister Park, which is a big Victorian park in Bradford, and there is a swimming pool that was built in the early 20th century that was kind of demolished in the 1970s. So we'd always go out there and do training out there. And people just loved going and hearing what we were doing and seeing some of the results, because it's just... had that connection to that place. And that's the kind of archaeology that, you know, I've been exposed to in Bradford is more recent or industrial archaeology, which people, I think, connect with really well.
That's really cool. If people want to kind of get in contact with you about doing geophys, what's the best way to find you guys?
Probably the best way is just to send an email to info@magnitudesurveys.co.uk. Or give us a ring, 01274-926-020. And yeah, we're on Twitter as well. You can tweet us. But email is probably the best.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.